Thank you, Lord, for this revelation that you have given us to know that we are a part of the Savior, a part of the precious Word of Life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day now that we can gather together as a family of God, worship, fellowship, and to learn of Thy Word. We ask for Your presence now, Lord, as you break the Word of Life to us, that Lord, again we might be edified and be built up, Father, in this period of time that we live in. When we see, O Lord, the conditions of the world, signs of the time, signs of Thy word, O Lord, prophetic sign coming to pass. Now, Lord, we are almost finishing up, Lord, all that which we have understood, Father, concerning, Lord, the last day. We know, Lord, we have but a short time now. We know that Satan, he has but a short time to do his part before, Lord, he be brought to judgment. But Lord, while we are here for the little while, the little time, space of time that we have, may you strengthen us, Father. And we're looking forward, O Lord, to the day when rapturing faith will be given, when we shall hear the voice of the Lord, the trump out, to change, to give faith, O Lord, to change our body. And it is, we know, Father, the body needs to be changed, and that takes faith, Lord. So, Father, we ask for your grace right now as you approach thy word. May you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, last week we We finish off in chapter, last part of chapter 1. So we want to go back to the book of Acts and continue from there. Alright. Now, where we left off last week was chapter 1, verse 16, all the way down. And when Peter stood up, how that they should look for someone else to replace the bishopric of Judas Iscariot. But he said, of course, in verse 16, brethren and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, who was guide to them that took Jesus. He was a guide, he was a betrayer, and he guide those who seek to have Jesus captured and be brought to judgment. So he was the one who sold up Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And he said in verse 17, Peter said, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Yes, he was a part of the ministry where the apostle ministry was given to him, but the apostle ministry before Christ give his life at Calvary is different from the apostle ministry that was after when he gave the gift after his resurrection and ascension. Alright? So when we use the word apostle, it just a word means one who is called to go on a mission and have a message to give out. So that's what an apostle is. That's bringing particularly the word. But of course, we also understand that in the New Testament, the apostle ministry is more than one who is sent out. Because we know evangelists are also sent out. You know, even with teachers are also sent out. Prophets can be sent out. You know, all these five ministries are all sent out, called of God and sent out, you know, to minister the word. But in the apostolic ministry, in the five ministry, he is not only just one sent out onto the mission field to establish the church, churches, but he also is one who set the word of God in order. Alright, he has given this gift to set the word of God in order. Alright, and well, just to recall what was said by Brother Yufang, you know one thing, you know, not very long ago, last week or two, I think, and I sent out an email to all of you. That's why I sent it out to those on my mailing list, you know, to look at the foolishness that some believer have. And this was an email that was sent to me by a believer in Africa, who once in a while wrote me and asked me questions because he was young in the faith, and he lived in a place where in Africa there's a lot of anti-Message churches, Pentecostal churches, charismatic, and so on and so forth. And he was confused over what was taught to him, what he heard. And he asked me, Brother Gunn, is it true that we just believe even though we don't understand? Remember the email I sent you? And I asked him, I said, what do you think then? He said, no, I cannot believe what I don't understand. I said, that's true. You see, I realized the kind of question he asked, being that he is a Message believer, came from the Branhamites. And you know, it has been propagated since the death of Brother Branham. Ministers in America, big minister who was close to Brother Branham, who make Brother Branham everything, make Brother Branham the absolute. So they always said that if you don't understand what he said, just believe, just believe, just believe. Because he was a prophet, you just believe, even though you don't understand. You know, so I replied to this brother and I sent it out to you and all those out there. And I said, there was this one time back, several years, many years ago now, I think, maybe it should be about 20 years now or so, you know, and where a minister from New Zealand came and together with the son of Brother Branham, the sons of Brother Branham, and they came. And, you know, I usually don't attend the kind of meeting, but because there was a news that was given to me regarding the son of Brother Branham, the older son of Brother Branham, where because I have association with many ministers in America, in other countries where I have news from them, and we get a correspond, and we are looking into the scripture. So this news came to me, said, Brother Gan, we have a minister over here in America, associate minister. We came together and we dropped up a letter and wrote this letter to the son of Brother Branham. You know, because there are many of the believers walking in the voice of God. And after a while, they attend the church, they start to leave because they hear all kinds of strange things. And it was said that the son believed that Brother Branham was Jesus. You know, so, and this minister said that when you ask him, approach him and say, Brother, do you believe your father is Jesus Christ? And he said, the reply you get will be this. I didn't say it, you said it. That means to say, I didn't say he was Jesus Christ, you said that he was Jesus Christ. He would not say, no, I didn't believe it. Or yes, I believe it. There is no direct question. That's what I said about this evil in the life of many ministers and believers. Right even in Singapore. Huh? When I came to the message 71, 2 years later, when I saw the thing, God told me to get out, God showed me this, and my heart burns with fire to hit out at this evil and the lie, because it's no different from the Catholic Church. They make the Pope the absolute. And in the charismatic church where they preach prosperity gospel and the lie and the deception. So, well, you know, I decided, okay, when I heard that the son of Prabhupada was coming and I give a report, so I just want to go and attend a meeting and then ask him. So I sat there and he was giving a report. And in the report, what he said, I said, okay, that's enough. I don't have to go and ask him. You know what he said over there in the pulpit? He said, you know, that's what I wrote in the email. If you remember it. He said to us, those few that were in the meeting just to hear the report. He said, you know, we thank God that we have a prophet. Sometimes it's a big deal that we have a prophet. You know, the Bible said, the Old Testament, you know, the Jesus day, the Pharisees, and they said, we have the prophet. Right? It makes us a big deal about it, but they don't even recognize what the prophet was talking about. You may have your prophet. But do you know what the prophet said? Do you know what he said? You know, but you know, see, the thing is that, oh, we thank God for the prophet. You know why? Because we have the absolute word and the truth. If you look at the sky and your eyes say it is blue, and science tell you that the sky is blue, don't believe your eyes, don't believe science. If the prophet comes and tells you that the sky is red, you believe him that it's red. Can't you believe? Of course, the prophet will not say the sky is red because he's not that stupid. It's the brand of mind that make up things like that. To say that if the prophet says something different from what you know, you better believe him. So how can you believe in something when you don't understand? When your eyes see that the sky is blue, and common sense, science proves it's blue. And that's why when I replied that to the brother, I said, you are a black man. If Brother Branham will come and tell you that you are not black, you're white. Would you go around telling your neighbors and the family, I'm white? They'll say you're mad. Of course, Brother will not say that. I'm saying what this brother of mine, these foolish people are saying, making Brother as if he's God. Because he knows everything. He look at you. If you're a man, he said, no, you're not a man, you are a woman. You're going to believe that you're a woman. And you know what? A brother over here in Singapore replied, as usual. He wrote and he said, and give me, instead of telling me what he wanted to get at, he gave me a little write-up. He said, you know, there was this man who was a photographer.
Mr. Ayer, the one who took the picture, the black and white picture of Brother Branham with the halo. You remember the photograph? He said his children committed some serious crime. Sounds like murder to me. And the court sentenced them to death. So Brother Branham came to know about it, or maybe the photographer approached him to help or something. I don't know. He said that Brother Branham went to the Supreme Court and talked to the judge, talked to the court. You know. And then the judge decided to have a retrial. And the court, instead of sentencing them to death, sentenced them to life imprisonment. Then he said, so you see, even the U.S. Supreme Court listened to him. Listen to Brother Branham. So I said, what has that got to do with what I'm saying here? I said, yeah, listen to Brother Branham. So are you telling me to even do that? What Brother Branham said, we must obey. Huh? If Brother Branham wants to, you just imagine. Brother Branham was a well-respected man, right? Was a well-respected servant of God. It's known in America. So the Supreme Court of God listened to him and said, okay. And if the judge want to convert or want to commute the death sentence to life sentence, imprisonment, that is his grace. And that's why out there, also other minister, they told me, Brother God, who are we to sentence a man to death? Who are we to do that? And I have over in other countries, white men tell me, Brother Branham do not believe in death sentence. I said, well, that is his opinion. That doesn't change the word of God. But then who are we to judge a man and put him to death? I said, the Bible said so. And I have to show you this, brother. If you have read my book on Genesis, if you have remembered our position on Genesis, you will remember what Genesis said. And remember what Genesis said, even when Cain killed Abel. Life for life, and eye for eye, blood for blood, right? Why God did not take the life of Cain? Because there was no law passed yet. So there was no law, how do you judge by the law? No, there was no law yet. But God had to judge Cain in a very fair way. He cursed the ground. The moment he cursed the ground, Cain knew he's in trouble. Isn't it? So this punishment is too great. Because people who find it will want to kill me. A mystery that a lot of people, do you think you can learn from outside? Learn it from a theological school? They can learn it from this brand of mind, you can't. Now I always said that there is a mystery, there is a ministry. That God will get this word out and feed the people. Make the people to understand. Appreciate the mystery they hidden from the eyes and the wise and the prudent. Cain was talking about what? When population multiplied on the earth. When people begin to multiply. Because in those days you don't live until 120 years and die, huh? You live hundreds of years. Remember? So by the time when population are there, his descendant. Who are the people who wanted to kill him? Not the second people, the Canaan people. His own descendant wanted to kill him. Why? Because they are farmers. Remember, Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so when the farmer are farming the ground, and the ground is not giving its yield, they will want to kill Cain because they know. By that time, of course, news come out, why is this earth cursed? Why are we in this situation? Adam and all, the descendant would, you know, pass down the history of what happened. And the ground being cursed such a way that there's no longer fertile. What then? Huh? So they want to kill Cain. But God says to Cain, it will not be so easy for them to kill you. I'll put a mark on you. I'll give you a mark. I'll give you a token. God show him grace. So as time passed, he began to increase his size.
so that people are not killed so easily. You see?
So now, after the flood, what happened after the flood?
God gave the law.
Do you remember? If you don't remember, maybe I'll show it right here. Go to the book of Genesis. Go to the book of Genesis and we see after the flood we see and verse chapter 9. This is chapter 9. God blessed Noah and his children. And then he said now, verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, and even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. And surely your blood of your life will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whosoever shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, make he him, make he man. What is God saying? Every life of man and animal, I will require it. If an animal kills a man, that animal must die. How are you going to kill the animal? You sell out the animal to kill an animal, or you kill the animal? It is not fair your practice today, right? A wild animal that kills a man out there is put to death. By who? By man. And God said the same thing. He said, if a man shed blood kills a man, by man shall that man be put to death. So who are we, man, to kill, take another man's life? That's the Lord of God. That's why we have courts. We have jury. And if you see somebody, you know somebody killed somebody, and he's caught, and if ever been appointed, he was the killer, so he must be put to death. Right? But of course, some countries say, we don't believe in death sentence, that's okay. You want to commit that to life imprisonment? Fine. No problem. As some brother told me, Brother Abraham says, forgive. Yes, sure, forgive. That's what America has given misuse of this freedom of forgiveness. To a criminal and put them in prison, who kills somebody, put them in prison, after a certain number of years, because of good behavior, out he goes down and shoot again. Then he's back in the prison again. Well, you know, he can kill somebody at the age of 20 something. And after so many years, good behavior goes out. At the age of 40, he kills somebody, he goes back again. Now at the age of 70 years old, he's all letting go out, he kills somebody again. And that's why we have a big problem in America with that kind of system. Here in Singapore, we have this law. And I believe in death sentence. I believe in forgiveness. Yes. After all, he kills a person. Let's say, for example, he kills one of your beloved. Somebody very close to you, you love so much. And they just say, well, he can have life sentence. And then what? There are cases in America. A man kills somebody, life sentence, he came out, he killed somebody else. And the family of the victim whom they killed, the first one, you know how frustrated they were. So, we just simply don't look at Brother Abraham as he is the absolute. The word of God is the absolute. And that's what the Pharisees are, some religious. We have Abraham, we have this. And Jesus said, where are they today? Verse 7, they said, where are they? They are all gone. But a greater than Solomon is standing right before you. Who do you hear? And if you know the prophets, you will know they're testifying of me. That's why they didn't recognize Jesus Christ, because they are looking for the prophet. The prophet. The prophets. The prophets. Until they miss the real prophet. The prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what the poem is driving at? So in the end, I told him, did you see what I'm trying to tell you? And he was telling me that those who love our fellowship, they are all saying,
some of them will disagree with your teacher. Of course, there are some that disagree with my teaching. Is it really my teaching they disagree with? Or because they have conflict with a brother or sister in the church, and they left. And they have to say something bad about this fellowship, obviously. Yes, sir. And I told his brother, I said, look, years ago, he put up on a website an article speaking evil lies to the people who read it about Brother Blessing Nice and me. Of course, he took it down because I told Brother Nice to write him, or else I exposed him. He took it down. I said, remember also years ago, you call me up on the phone and you grumble and grumble about certain brother. I don't mention the name. You complained to me about that brother because how good you are in your ministry and this and that. When he was not around, what do you complain to me? And when he came by, if he was upset. Yes. And that brother, after a few days, he called me and complained about you. I'm an outcast among you people here in Singapore and around the world. And yet when there's trouble, you call me and complain to about your church, about your pastor. And the other from overseas, they ask me also the same thing. I said, the problem is this. It's with you. The people who have this kind of attitude is because you have problem with yourself. Huh. Right. So this is what it is. Judas says, may be numbered among the disciples and send them out two by two to heal the sick and preach the gospel and so on. But yet, he backslid. He betrayed Christ and he sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Alright, verse 8. Now let's read continuing. Verse 18, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels were gashed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem in so much that the field is called in their proper tongue, Akedama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, let another take. So Peter is now telling the 120 in that day where he assembled to elect another person to replace Judas Iscariot. But his point, what he's trying to say is that Judas Iscariot, of course, already known of God, was ordained by God. Foreknown by God, his habitation, where Judas Iscariot is heading. Now, every one of us sitting here, now as long as we believe in our heart we are Christian, we need to know and have revelation where we are heading. You need to have your revelation to understand who you are. The song we sung, I'm a part of my Savior, a part of His Word. Huh? So if we know that it's true, we have to keep within this Word. We cannot deviate out. Now Judas is correct, deviate out of his calling was because he was not in tune with Christ. If you ever read history, the day of Jesus Christ, there were little groups of rebels trying to topple the Roman government. Huh? Barabbas is one of them. You see? So Judas Iscariot was eyeing the money back and trying to make Jesus Christ to be an influential person among the Jews. Because he had another purpose. Now he may go on with Jesus Christ, listen to what Jesus preached, taught, but his heart is not there. Jesus can even give him the anointing gift to where he could heal the sick. Make the lame walk. Wow. But you see what's what we see out there in charismatic churches. A brother here in our fellowship sent me a video. I don't know where he sent it to you. It's just like some of those it's one of those preachers, but this one is from, I think, Latin America. They speak Spanish, I think. And a video was a handphone taken, you know, vertically, not horizontally. And he shows a child sitting down there, a congregation of people, thousands of them, and he was sitting there, and this person was videotaping. And the preacher was holding her leg, and he shows that her leg was one long, one short, from the angle like that. And then the preacher was praying, then bend her leg down, and then pray, and then the leg straightened herself, itself, to the equal leg. Now what you see is not real. If you want to know what is real, show the person. They show many times on YouTube, if I was like magic, you look at the magic on YouTube. When it is filmed, okay, you know that they are digital. They are not true. If you want to know that a child is very rare, that she had a short leg, bring her up first and ask her to walk. Then do your miracle. That's a lot of deception out there. Not that God don't do miracle. God do. He still does miracle. And you better believe it. But the problem is that this fake out there are doing it for money. But you know, Judas is going to sit around think. He has forgotten himself. But why was he not into this? Say, oh my, that was my Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. But why was it that his mind is not on it? That he could betray Christ? Just like I told my friend, Presbyterian, he take the Bible literally. That for 40 days, 40 nights out there in the desert, the pillar of fire is there every night. Every night, every day, 365 days a year for 40 years. And I ask him, if that is really true, why is the Jew asking Moses, is God with us or not? And I ask him, if you have this pillar of fire in your church, every Sunday, not just every day, every Sunday you see it. You come to church, you see it. Would you betray Christ? Would you fall away from the faith? Say, yeah, I might. Why? I said, in the first place, you'll be sitting there, you will not hear the preacher preaching. You'll be looking at, everybody will be looking at this pillar of fire. Why won't you? Would you not? Sure. You know? And then you'll be boasting, going out there to other Christians. People, hey, my church, see pillar of fire, come, you see with your own eyes. You see, the problem is this, people do not understand what the Bible is. The Bible is not all literal. It's God's expression. And that's why we have a problem. That's why they build theological schools to try to interpret the Bible. Jesus never built a theological school. Huh? He taught disciples. And even Paul went to a theological school. What did he learn? Theology of tradition, interpretations of Phariseeism, Sadduceeism, or whatever. Right. So here we are looking at the beginning of the church. And by looking at what happened, we should take serious notice of it. Now, verse 20, his habitation be desolate. That place fell. Wherever he goes, let it be desolate. It's where, let it leave it waste. Okay? And let no man dwell therein. But apparently, men always dwell in such a place. And he does the same as what we know. When people are mad, they always go to a place that's dark and always go into a corner, a coward there in the corner. Huh? Right. So,
Wherefore, in verse 21, this man which have accompanied us, at that time the Lord went in and out among us, beginning for the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up with us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection, and the appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was surnamed Judas and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which know the hearts of all men, show whether of these two hast thou chosen, that he may take the part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, and that he might go to his own place, and they give for their Lord. And the Lord fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the eleven apostles. Now, do you understand in verse 25 that he might go to his own place? I said this, we all know the place where he's supposed to belong. A part of us, a part of my Savior, a part of the world. What is our place as Christian? Our place as Christian is with the Lord. Right? Yeah. Are you in heaven right now? Or you think that you are somewhere else? Some people say, oh, it's hell on earth. Yeah, sometimes the whole situation of the world can create hell on earth for you. Huh? Today's paper is like 63% of the American people disapprove of Donald Trump. Yeah. But you see one thing? The leader of a country have a great impact upon his citizens. Same thing in the Old Testament. When the kingdom of Israel split into two, that nation goes up in the north, and left the two tribes, Benjamin and Judah in the south. So the kingdom of Israel, 10 tribes. Kingdom of Judah, 2 tribes. And you look at the history of the 10 tribes of Israel in the north, they call the kingdom of Israel. Not one king is good. Not one king is good. And yet the lost 10 tribe, the British Israelites, where the white people claim that they are the lost 10 tribe. They are the real Israelites. Because Judah are called Jews. And that's what they are today in Israel. They are not Israelites. They are not the true one. The true one are the Anglo-Saxon people, European, the English people, and those Americans, the white people. What happened? Maybe what is it meant to be? There's a truth to that. Because why? How many presidents did they have a good? You wonder. See that it's all along clean. If we look into the scripture, we all have a place. Your place and my place is in heaven. And heaven is not that you wait until you die, then you go there. Heaven is a realm. You heard us always say? If you want to create a realm that you make you feel that you are worthless, all you do is to create in the mind. You act it out. There's a song that says, I am happy, I'm happy, happy every day, right? And I'm longing for his coming in the sky. I will then my Savior see, he will really set me free. Now, if you are happy in the Lord, you should be happy. Yeah, sometimes pain will come. Oh, I'm sad because of pain. Pray. Yeah. Pray. A few days ago, a sister from overseas called me on the phone. The night before, you know, I used to get up something 2 hours, 3 hours and go pee, you know. And I got up at night and she came to my mind and I just prayed for her. I don't know what she was going through, just prayed for her. And in the morning she called me up. You know, in a certain country in the world, the court can call you to do jury duty. Singapore, we don't have jury system.
We have a judge, right? When America, New Zealand, Australia, Europe, Canada, they have this jury system. They can call a citizen to go and be a member of the jury. And that is a problem for many Christians in this country. They say that, oh, I cannot go with jury duty, because we're not judged. I cannot judge. The Bible says, thou shalt not judge. Thou shalt be judged. A lot of them misquote the scripture. You know. So, that's one of the things, you know, if Singapore have this system, and some of these Brahma are called to perform jury duty, they will probably freak out. We're not the judge. Who are we to judge? And that is quite silly, isn't it? Even the Bible tells you, can you even judge in small things? Huh? If you see a brother and sister disagree with something, and you know one of them is wrong, say, come on, let's sit down. See, right to judge it means it is wrong. Unless the brother or the sister who said, oh, you're wrong. Who are you to judge me? You know how quick people are always doing that. Oh my. You know, I wish that we are in the early church and see what the Spirit is teaching the people. These are the beginning of the this is the beginning of the church, and these are sinners who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Peter was just doing what he thought was best. He hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet. And what I mean for again? You're wrong. They already received the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus Christ when he came into the room, he said, receive you the Holy Spirit. He breathed upon them. Now they want to take that verse and say they already have the Holy Spirit. Huh. You know the Bible said, prepare to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? Am I right? What did the Bible say? Thou shalt receive. What did the Bible say? You already receive. Oh, you have the Holy Spirit. So we don't just simply take a scripture and run with it. Huh? When Jesus says something, it's a promise. As the Bible said, when God said to Cain, you know, not so. Whosoever found you will not eat, kill you so easily. And the Bible said God put a mark on Cain. Did he put a mark on Cain then there that he grew into a giant like many people are trying to tell me? Huh? You see this only in movies. Like the Hulk. Boom. Become a giant. Or in an anime or into a cartoon. No. God put a mark upon Cain. He put a token upon Cain. But there's no need for him to, because there's nobody to kill him yet. The population hasn't come yet. And he needs to have wife, to have children, right? That's why people don't use to can't even look into it and reason with the Word of God and make sense out of it. If he wants to become a giant, boom, how is he going to have a wife who is less than 60 and when he is 90 tall? How would that be sexual union? You tell me. Common sense. It takes time, I don't know how many years before the population increased. Maybe 100 years, 200 years. By that time, he's only growing big. He would have dozens of children. That make any sense to you? Well, that's why I love the scriptures. I love the Word of God. When it's revealed, it just make you say, oh my, now I see it. Now I understand. See. Alright, so now, they curse the Lord and, well, the Lord fell upon Matthias. Now, again, let me say this. When we look at Judas Iscariot, there are people who said that Judas Iscariot had life, had eternal life. He'll go to heaven. You know. And there are some that said that King Saul goes to hell. because he killed himself. How did you read the scripture?
King Solomon, not King Solomon, King Saul.
He said, that's self-murder.
Read the scripture carefully. But Judas Iscariot, oh, he was chosen of Christ to be a disciple. And what God chose, once saved, always saved. I believe in that. Once saved, always saved. There are a lot of people that don't believe it. I believe once saved, always saved. Because God did not save you to put you and cast you into the lake of fire. We know what the Bible said. If you are saved, what then? What then? You got to hold to the word of God. That's what I said. That if you go over to John 3:16. What did John 3:16 say? Okay, turn to it. And we all sing so well. But then we all know. Right. John 3:16. Very common verse. Always taken by denomination. And as if that one verse is enough. But how would they explain it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, I believe in Jesus. The word believe is a word that you take it in English. Do you believe that the sky is blue? Yeah, I believe the sky is blue. Do you believe the grass is green? Yeah, I believe the grass is green. Unless somebody tell me it's blue. That would be quite foolish when somebody tell you blue and say it's blue. That's just not the word believer in the Greek. That's just what I told you about this version called the pure word of God. The pure word translation. What I call a tech man anyway to find out whether they have that book, the Bible version. They don't have it. Sister Grady bought it when he heard me mention it. Sister Brie also bought it. You know. So, when you look at what is translated in John 3:16, this is what the translation said. Because God has loved in such a manner the Satan's world. For God so loved the world. And this translator asks, God has so loved in such a manner the Satan's world. That's correct. When I read it, I said, that's really correct because the world belongs to the devil. Isn't it? Yes. The world don't belong to God. What? I thought God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, he created the heavens and the earth. But he didn't create this world. The world is cosmos. The systems of man. So we have this problem. If you are a company, big shot, you want to be a director, right? So that director at the end of the year get bonus, Yeah, that's when a lot of money disappear to the pocket of all this so-called director who's not doing the business. Yeah? And we have out there the systems of the world. Prosperity preachers. They preach, give and give unto God. And God will give back to you twice, three times, four times more than what you give him. So what do? They pass all these big boxes, bigger than Kentucky Fried Chicken's bucket size. Pass it all around, they pass pail even to collect all the money. Where did the money go? It goes to these preachers. Right? That's what they can buy jet plane. Mansions. Look at America, look at all these sweet people. Joshua Duplessis, Benny Hinn, and many others. I used to follow what they are. Back in those days, I was looking at what they were doing. And I realized, oh, there's a lot of things that they have deceived people, and people just fall for it. Remember the woman, I can't remember her full name now, Juanita or something. You remember we talk about signing a check. He said, don't sign your check with an ordinary pen. Sign it with an expensive pen. So that you are a child of God. Oh,
They have all kinds of doctrines, don't they?
So the Bible now here said, God so loved the world in such a manner that Satan was so that he gave his Son, the only begotten, risen Christ, in order that whosoever is continuously, by his choice, committing for the result and purpose of him, that's Christ, should not perish, but definitely should, by his choice, be continuously have eternal life. That's what I like this translation. The whosoever believe on him, and he say that is true, continuously, by his own choice, committing for the result and the purpose of Christ, for what he promised. But not say, I believe Jesus, that's it. And then you do your own thing out there in the world. You hardly think of him only when you think of him when you're in trouble. Most people do. When they're in trouble, Lord, what have I done? Please, please, help me, please. But everything's fine, Danny. You don't think of God. You don't think of Christ. You know, look at King David. That's just the way he was, a man after God's heart. He's the apple of his, as God is the apple of my heart, a man after my own heart. Everywhere from a child, growing up, looking after his father's sheep. His concern was aware of the environment, the creation of God, the beauty of God, that he got so close to God and he sings and composed songs to the Lord. That's where he got his strength from, in fighting Goliath, in fighting and killing a bear and the tiger and the lion. He was so close. And look at Samson. God gave him, well, you know, the gift of strength. But he flirted with women. That's one of the problems. Until he got trapped by Delilah. And his eye was gouged out. What can he do now? They can't see. They make sports of him. And they make the fun of him because of his God. And but you know, he brought the bad name to the Lord. So they tied to the pillar of this grand word gathering place and said, for one more time, Lord, give me the strength. And he got it. God gave it to him. And he brought the whole house down, killing the Palestinian, and he died himself too. I mean, the Philistine. And he died too. You see, that's the problem. Did he continually walk with God, just like David? And the same thing with John 3:16. We need to understand what he says. Alright. Let us go to John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now that which you receive, continue in it. Now this is John writing right to young believers, Christians, I call them my children. Those whom he passed in Ephesus. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. If you are called, you have to abide in him. If you don't abide in him, you get out like Samson, like Judas Iscariot. Now, once saved, always saved, I believe that, but you pay with your life. But once you deny Christ, like Judas Iscariot, betray him, You see, even though Christ called him, people said, Christ chose him, he must be saved. But the Bible said, Jesus said, I chose 12 of you, and one of you is the devil. So in the first place, Christ knew where he goes. But somebody had to fulfill the betrayal for what was prophesied in the Old Testament.
That's why there's a lot of discussion on the internet forum. Yeah? But if not, God knows everything, that means we don't have free will. Because whatever we do, God knows it. That means there is no free will. Huh? It turns out. Logically, this is the intellectual people who try to argue that there is no God. And a simple question is this. If you say that God only knows everything, yeah, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. God knows it. So that means you have no choice. That means there's no free will. But the question here is that if there are two things, you pick either one of those things, I give it to you. Would you go left or would you go right? Right now. No, no, you don't know what God knows, right? You don't know what God knows, whether you go right or left. But for you right now, with your own determination, what will you choose? Huh? You don't know, right? You don't know about God. God knows what you're going to do, where you're left or right, so where are you going to go? I think left. Alright? You take life. God knows you'll take life. You see what I mean? I take life, God knows how to take life. No, I think right. Now you see, God so knows you want to take life. Right? Because God knows the foolishness in your own thinking. You make a choice, you make a determination, God knows, but it's your choice. But people say, not my choice. I motivate, God move me like a puppet. Really? Yeah, it seems that way, isn't it? God is moving everybody else like puppet. But everyone have a choice. It's only those who yield to God that the Bible said God guides their pathway. You don't yield to God, you choose your own path. Right? How can we say that we don't have a free choice? We have, right now. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I walk close to Him all these years. Right now, if I spit Him in the face, right now, I deny Him before all of you. Violently, vehemently, consciously, seriously. What does that make me? That's my choice, isn't it? But because I have His Holy Spirit, how could I deny Him? There's no way that I could deny Him. Right? That's not a choice. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. You make a choice. Don't say there's no choice. You have a choice. To be a Christian, not be a Christian. To be a good guy, not a bad guy. Right? That's why all the foolishness is, I'm born that way. I'm born homosexual. Really? You're born a homosexual? Some people think that he's born a homosexual. America starts saying, yeah, the poor guy is born a homosexual, so you know. It couldn't happen. The Bible says homosexuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I have known some homosexual who turned around after finding Christ, kept himself away from men. Right? Isn't that what I'm saying? Paul says, I'm born a pedophile. I can't help it. I like to molest little girl, little boy. And then you see all the kids out there in the Catholic Church. How many? Thousands. And today's paper, did you read about it? The Pope is covering, trying to cover up. Now he's trying to say in open air, trying to expose. No. The Catholic Church has a lot of secret. A lot of people don't even understand. Because the Catholic people, they don't seem to understand. Whenever you talk, read the Bible, the church, the thing is the Catholic Church referred to.
The Bible did not come before the characters. The one place the Bible refers to characters in the book of Revelation, and the Bible calls it the harlot, the mother of harlot. Why? But you know, religion is an opium. It's a drug. The people just come to after hearing of the brainwashing. I'm brainwashing you, right? I'm drugging you right now. Am I not? So what are you being drugged with? The truth of God or the lies of the devil? Or the traditions of man? That's not why truth brought light. Lies bring you darkness. And what is darkness? A lot of fear. How many of you like to go in the dark? How many of you would like to go with me? I love to go to cemetery in the night. You want to come with me? Cemetery in the night, past midnight, just walk to a cemetery. Many of you will not want to go. And the moment you want to go with me, the moment you feel, some eeriness, oh man, this, then you hear all kinds of things. Then maybe something fly by, you'll get afraid. It's all in the mind. But you see, when you are in falsehood, you believe lies, and just like what the Catholics are telling you, if you get out of the mother church, this is a mother church, you go to purgatory. The bread of life, that if you don't stay well, then you don't make the rapture. And so on and so forth. Oh my. Your eternal life is not based upon an institution. This church, that organization. No. Your life, your eternal life, you won't have it. Because eternal life is in the person of Jesus Christ. The Father has given him the life. And he gives this life to you and me. Right? He that have the Son have life. He that have not the Son have no life. Because the Son of God reveals the Father. And there's only one person that is immortal. One person who is eternal, and that's God Himself. And He's this life that is invested in Christ Jesus and given to you. So what are you trusting with? If you're in darkness, in your tradition and all this sort of thing, you do all this ritual. It's because you're fearful. Let's say to our sister, brother and sister, that if you are dying now, you're dying now. Okay, you still have senses, but you know that you only have few days to live. What goes through your mind? What goes through your mind? You know what goes through my mind? Every time I think about my death, I say, Lord, if you don't take me right now, I'm not afraid to go, but I am thinking about the church. I'm thinking about the church. I mean, I like to go. You know? But I'm thinking about the church. Some people fear death so much. Actually, the Bible says, death, where is the victory? Death, where is thy sting? Think so. Why people feel so fearful about death? Take a gun, put it to your hand and blow. Just squeeze the trigger. You blow it, bring up, pop. You see a light, and that's gone. That's why I say in Nigeria, the Boko Haram have killed a lot of Christians. And some of them are fearful they deny Christ. Just nail down and says, I'm a Christian. Cut my head off. That's it. Huh? Have you seen a real knife? I have seen, I used to view them and they make me sick. I download all those forbidden sites. Where all sorts of killing were there. Extremist terrorists. They take this knife and just cut this one out. And saw. Because they want to take the head off. It's not only just to cut off your neck and then you bleed to death. No. He cut it at the neck and sawed through the neck to hold up the head. Awful, isn't it? And that's only one day you kill a person, fine. But torture is not a good thing. Torture is the thing a lot many of us cannot take. But I want to say one thing. I believe that God can give you that grace. Just like in the dark period of time in Rome, where they put the Christian in the arena. Right? And the Roman people would like to watch. They send out the bear, they send out the tiger, they send out the lions. And they rip these people apart. Families were out there. Parents with children. Standing there. And they let the lion come. That moment in time, what do you think happened? The thing is that you protect your children. The lion would kill you first. Then you're gone to take the children. Those are horrible days in the dark ages. That's why Christians ran and hide in the catacomb. Just like in the days of the Second World War, the Jews have to hide from Hitler, Eichmann, who put them out there, blind them, put them in the chamber, in the room, said, you've got to kill yourself. Close the door, the guests came, and they suffocated, and they died. And then put them in the oven and burned them, burned up the body. Just think about it. The worst thing is that they separate the children from their parents. Right. Of course, some of the Jews will say, curse God and die. But there are those who have faith in their Yahweh. And that's why it's written on the wall. Even he remains silent. He is still God. We all expect God to save us instantly. Now there are times that God would rather have you home. John 15:4. John 15:4-10. That is book of John, Gospel. John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Now that makes sense, right? Just I am the vine and you are the branches. If the branches don't abide in the vine, what good is it? He has no life. If a man abide not in me, he is cast off as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See what I mean? Now he said that we are the branches attached to the vine. But there is one thing about it, that if we move ourselves as a branch, we snap out of the vine, we have no life. So we are gathered and cast into the fire. You see, I believe that once saved, always saved. As long as you abide in the vine. The moment you separate yourself from the vine, you are cast into the fire. So now, there is this Arminian doctrine versus the Calvinistic doctrine. Calvinism, there is once saved, always saved. Arminian doctrine is salvation can be lost. Actually, salvation cannot be lost. It is lost only because you choose to not abide in the vine. As like Judas Iscariot, he said, the Bible said, by transgression he fell. Right? Now, many times we transgress against the Lord of God, we commit sin here and there. But we know how to confess and get back to God, right? Is that all right? That's the way it's so important about restitution. You know, a lot of people are out there Christian, even anti-message. They don't do what the Bible said. A brother in Canada talked with me on the phone. After he read what he read in my book, he said, "Barak," and I couldn't believe it. I thought this man was such a man of God. Huh? He said, "Yeah. A lot of people have two faces. One face that present to the people of the church. The other face is present in darkness." What did the brother do to me? He didn't do anything to me. Actually, he lied to the people. He lied to his own congregation in the big convention that I attended. He lied to the people. You know what he did? He said to the people, because I was there. He don't have to lie. On the second day of the meeting, he told the people, he said, "You know, I asked the preacher to preach, but they said, no, we don't want to preach. We want you to preach." I was there with a brother from Arizona. He was sitting on the back because there was air from the back. It's a tent. And he was sitting a little away from me. He got look at me. Why would I decline to preach? He looked at me. I said, "No, he didn't ask me." After the service was over in the night, went back. We drove back to the motel. And I said, "Usually, American motel has a restaurant beside it." He went to his room. I went to the restaurant to get something to eat. I went in, and it was filled with all the visitors, the believers that attend the convention. So I wanted to find a place to sit. So I went all the way inside and found a corner, a table where a couple, an Indian couple, but they are American citizens. I think they're American or Canadian. And there they have children with them eating. So they saw me, "Come over here, brother again." So I went there, sat beside them, and called for the waiter to come. And then the husband was eating spaghetti. I remember it very vividly. The wife was feeding her children, and the wife asked me a question, "Bergen, you came all the way from Singapore. Why don't you preach?" Oh, I got stuck with a question like that. How do you think I felt? To tell the truth or not to tell the truth? Or to say, "I don't know." Or what? Maybe I got a headache that's not on the preacher. What did I tell them? Because the pastor of the church were organizing, he lied. And I just said, "Okay, I'll tell the truth. I wasn't called to preach." The husband was taking the spaghetti, literally almost dropped his fork. And look at me. "What?" Another one looked at me again. "Then what did he sat down in the pulpit?" Referring to the preacher. I said, "Well, don't ask me, ask him." And I wrote a letter later on the way back. I wrote to him a letter from Denver where I stayed, my sister, and I explained to him. I said, "No, you told a lie. And the believer, you know, they come to your convention. They found out that you lied because I'm not sure, but to tell the truth, then you never asked me to preach." And I told him, "You don't have to ask me to preach. I know he doesn't agree with my teaching. And I've given him some money for postage to send me some videotape. He never did send me." And the money disappeared into his pocket. For years. Until now. And yet, strangely, after so many years down the road, I wrote him. He didn't reply. Those days was slow mail. And one day the brother from Arizona called me up and said, "Brother Ken, Do you know? This brother said to me that two of his deacons who went over to South America, Brazil, or someplace down in South America to prepare, arrange some meeting for him, and they got lost somewhere. And he's asking me to ask you whether I know such a certain place and things like that to help him. You see how that works? And then the brother told me, he said, you know, I told him, I said, you know, brother, God wrote you a several letter, you didn't reply him. And I said, what did he say to you? He said, oh, I'm so busy, brother. And I told his brother in Arizona, is he as busy as I am? When those days got lots of letters in the post box. And how busy are you that you cannot take a piece of paper and write, I receive a letter. In 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes, yes, brother, I receive a letter, I'll answer you when I'm free. Put it in an envelope and send it. People are just like that. They commit things like that and it is nothing. My. That's why I told the brother, here, example. Remember, when you have a problem, it's a problem with yourself. It's not the people. You're always trying to find fault with others. Problem is with yourself. Huh? You don't have to agree with me in any doctrine. Sure. Because I know Brother, my spirits are such that it is all about Brother Brian very strongly. I don't have to agree with you, but you're still my friend. You're still a brother. Yes, no doubt about it. But I don't have to bash you for your teaching that I don't agree with. When people start to twist my word, that's when they find out the truth, that I'm not the person who will let it go so easily. Because when you twist my word, you're twisting God's word anyhow you like. Like the denomination are twisting Brother Branham's word. And make it worse, of course, by the Branhamite, because they lift up Brother Branham so high. Alright. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done with you. That's why I think it's important that we walk close to the Lord. Just as David did. And you will please the Lord that whatever you ask to give to you. Amen? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. A lot of people don't bear fruit for Christ. I hope you will live your life to bear fruit for Christ. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even have I kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. And if you keep my commandment, I'll abide in me, then I abide in you. My love will be in you. If you do away with the commandment or the word of God, don't expect God to bless you. That's why the Bible is real to me. Huh? God has never failed me. Since the year that I resigned from my nursing job and do this ministry. There were times when particularly, you know, short of money. But yet, God just sent it. God just sent it. Look at Brother Knights. He left the denomination church. Big church, a bishop. When I went to visit the first time, when he came out and ministered, he only had about a small group of people, less than what we have. And not particularly working because they are undergraduate. But because of what God had revealed to him, he holds to the word of God. And he has been blessed. And being blessed by God, he has been a blessing to many people. That's the purpose of our life. Be a blessing to people. Not a problem. Not a nuisance. Not a disgrace. Chapter 2. Close with this few
one or two verses.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What is Pentecost? Right, let me just show you this so that I don't have to show you next week. In closing, this just to give you that image. I mean, that understanding. Now, when we talk about the Pentecost, because we are this side of the cross, we know what Pentecost represents and all this. But if you were to live before the cross, in the days of the Old Testament, they have all these feasts right here that you see. You have all these feasts. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, Pentecost, trumpet, atonement, and tabernacle. Alright? So you will not know what they represent. They just keep the feast. They do not know. They do not know at all. The Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, you receive the Holy Spirit. No. They have this seven feast of Jehovah. The first feast, when he came out of Egypt, alright, they have to keep the Passover, and that is one day. Alright? Then they have to keep the unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. The feast of unleavened bread start on the same evening when they partake of the Passover. On that particular day of the Passover, their time is called the Passover day. But it is only taken in the evening at 6 p.m. when it starts the Sabbath. So the Sabbath and the Passover is the same period of time, beginning at 6 p.m. So that will be the first day also of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which will stretch for 7 days. First fruit. The day of first fruit is not after 7 days. The day of first fruit, the Feast of first fruit, comes the day after the Sabbath. Now, for you to know, look at this one here. There's a calendar. This heavy. Passover is on the 14th day. Alright? Of Abib. So, at 6 p.m. of 14, that is to say, our Friday night. Got it? Alright? Friday, 6 p.m. starts the Sabbath for the Jew. But it's still Friday because we have 6 hours to go to midnight. Because you see, we gentle people are doing what we want, but God's people, the calendar is different. Okay? I don't know why 12 midnight is a.m. when the sun is still not up. When we say a.m., we expect morning, right? You see? But the Jew, they start at 6 p.m. because the sunset. They go to sleep. Sleep and get energy. Then they wake up in the morning to work. Until 6 p.m., come the 14th day, then they go to sleep again. Right? And we are just the opposite. We work first and then we sleep. Then they sleep, then they get to work. So you bring your energy, but like you charge your tablet, charge your phone, right? Or else it won't work. Or else the phone will not wake up. So to speak. Alright. So we have 14 here, that's the Passover. Alright. In the evening. Then on the 15th is the Sabbath. Sabbath is the day when Jesus Christ went into buried, right? He was buried on Friday evening after he died. They buried him, so he slept. So on the same evening, the Passover took place. He was the Passover lamb. So on the evening of the Sabbath, he was in the tomb. Then on the 16th of Abib, it's called the first day of the week. And that's the first fruit. The feast of first fruit. And he was waved before the Lord. That's why he told the disciple, the woman, don't touch me yet. I have not gone up to my father. So he had to go up into heaven and present himself before the Father. That is to say, he is the what we call the wave offering before the Father, whether the Father will accept him or not. Do you understand? Then after that, he came back down to earth and stayed 40 days with the disciples. So these 3 days are important. Friday, Passover day, evening, Passover taken, and also the same evening, the Sabbath starts, and then on the Sunday, that is the first day of the week, Christ resurrected. Pentecost. Pentecost happened. Pentecost means 50 days. 50 days, you got it? Pentecost means 50. You understand? Alright, 50 days. When do you count? You count 50 days from when? The day after the Sabbath. The day after the Sabbath. So if you count the day after the Sabbath, you count as first day. So, if you have 7 Sabbath, how many days? 7 times 7? 49. You will end up here on the 4th. And on the 5th, it will be Pentecost. There's a 50th day. 50th day falls on the first day of the week, and that's Sunday. The old system is changed when Christ died on the cross. That's the reason why when he died on the cross, he had all your sins upon the cross. All the law he fulfilled is folded up, stacked away up there on the cross, and he brought in a new system. That's why the Ten Commandments, we don't have the Ten Commandments. What do we have? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and whom only you shall love. Right? And then the second commandment, or the next commandment, he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, and yet we know that in this age, what over the Old Testament, the law is very, very strict, right? What is the fourth commandment? In the Old Testament, you think about what's the fourth commandment? Thou shalt not make thyself graven images. Right? Or is it the second commandment? I got forgotten now. I think it's the second. Thou shalt not make thyself, and thou shalt not have other God before me, thou shalt not make thyself graven images. And yet, the Catholic Church have the images. They're worshipping all that. Why would you have it? Huh? Don't make the grace of God a disgrace. Make images out of clay, or you paint a picture out of it, and you say, this is Christ, this is Mary, this is what, and you worship. You worship a saint. I'm a saint. Don't worship me, please. Because we don't worship saints. There's one more person whom we worship, and there's God, God himself. Right? And so now, Passover one day, the Lord's death. Alright? And that's when we take, that's when they take the Passover lamb. Of course, he'll represent for us. We still are taking the lamb, we no longer take the lamb. We take the communion with the Lord. Huh? Okay? That is it. And the Lord's resurrection, the first fruit, on the first day of the week. And another bread, I said, is 7 days. So the day after the Passover, the first day, begins the unleavened bread as well as the Sabbath, or the Christ lying in the tomb. And then on the following day after that, Sunday, the first day of the week, Christ resurrected. And it represents, of course, here you have the springing of the blood. When it was in Egypt, remember? The Passover lamb's blood. And then the eating of Passover, they stand and eat, they don't sit and eat. And I think that's very true. When we visit Chinese, sit and eat is a very, how did they express now? When you sit and eat, it's not a good thing. Chapatansi and all whatever else, you know, in Chinese, and you sit and you are waiting for death or whatever. You know, when you sit, it's a very bad thing. But why do they stand and eat? Because they're in a hurry to get out of Egypt. No time. When we sit, we recline as those days, you know, you take a time to eat and have feasting, right? Because when we have fellowship, we don't go in a hurry. But this is not. This is, they have been eating quickly, sustain the energy, and go out of Egypt. And then we have the sheaf of first fruit. That's when the barley, because the feast of week are 50 days, including Pentecost. The first day, okay, the day after the Sabbath, is when they take the barley sheaves, and they went to the temple and wave it before the Lord. And that represents Christ, the first harvest, the first crop that comes into when they came into the land of Canaan. 50 days later, that's 7 weeks later, that's when he had the second harvest. The second harvest is the wheat harvest. And we are the wheat. We are gathered by Christ. So that's the wheat harvest, the Pentecost. Alright? And that is when the Holy Spirit descended. Okay? And there, of course, you have the high priest presenting the 2 barley loaves as wave offering. So as Christ was sheep wave before the Lord, so we are also, we present bread that we are, because we are part of the body of Christ. That's why we have the communion. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. For thy word, may it be a blessing, O Lord, to every one of us. In our life, Father, continue and abide in Christ Jesus, who loves us. As he loves you, Father, and by thy love, you love him and you bless him continually. Likewise, therefore, Lord, help us to abide in Christ Jesus and his love and his word. That our Lord will continue to abide in us and love us dearly. We thank you for your word of life. So, Lord, bless the message, bless the word now, and whosoever hears it, Lord. We commit this rest of the day to you. In Jesus' name, amen.